information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
How do you own disorder? The toxicity of our city. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 210th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. It's March 18th, 2011, and my name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, your source for alt news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, the killing moon, nuclear winter, West Coast fallout, and Japanese meltdown. PDX boom and storming City Hall. Scanners, prices, hackers, and HARP, plus no-fly news purge, Ides of March, Terra Mortis, magic mushrooms, copyright crackdown, and the Queen Mum's record collection. All that and so very much more in this important episode 210. It's March 18th, 2011, and this is MediaMonarchy.com. Echo and the Bunnymen, going back to their 1986 record, Ocean Rain. And it's a callback, you know, to a faraway time that we may not remember, when Libyans and plutonium were surrounding us. Oh, wait. This is now. It's March 18th, 2011. This is episode 210 of Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. So, very much to go over this week, as you can imagine. And, of course, we're coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And, of course, a huge thanks to all the sites and channels that help rebroadcast and syndicate and spread the word about Media Monarchy, but especially the two that carry it, simulcast live, zeropointradio.com, and also terrestrially by them in Casper, Wyoming, 92.3 FM and 1670 AM, and the worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net. And of course, tragedyandhope.com, the most fantastic partner I could ever hope for to have in this endeavor. And yes, of course, we're on all the social networks, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. As I've been mentioning over the last several months, only more so now, twitter.com/Media Monarchy is an amazing source of news for you. I found it really easy and really just kind of fun and a lot simpler. And there are a lot of stories that get posted that may not get posted to the main site. We'll also remind you, we do now have mobile versions of the site. So if you go on your smarty phone, they should look good. Let me know. Questions, comments, helpful suggestions, as the secret is. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a media-loving kid from West Virginia who got into radio when he went into college, was a music director when 9/11 happened, and I started to dig into the shell game of what's really going on. Your support helps keep Media Monarchy going. You can hit the donate button at the top right of the page, and we appreciate it. We also have a post office box, P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212, and again, that's on the site. And unfortunately, last week, in mentioning all the great donors that we had, I forgot to mention one. Now, when most folks donate by way of PayPal, I can get it in my email, and then I have a nice little folder that shows me when and who donated to the site. But there are folks that send cash and checks and media to P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. And I forgot to mention last week, my man, Ilya, in Huntington, West Virginia, an old friend, sent a donation, sent a nice letter, hugely appreciated. I was kind of wondering about him. Don't hesitate, anyone out there, to get in touch or stay in touch. That's how we're going to get through all of these things we're facing. Something else I want to mention, last week when we talked about Michael Rupert and crossing the Rubicon and CollapseNet and peak oil, I mentioned the comment against Mike Rupert, but I didn't mention the point that he was bringing up, and that was the part going against the peak oil theory, and that's abiotic oil. And you should check out the work of Dave Gowan, I believe. I also got a fancy new HD webcam. It's fantastic. And again, thanks to the recommendation of the crew at tragedyandhope.com. So hopefully look in the not too distant future. Higher quality videos. Again, we're trying to constantly step up our game, and your support makes that happen. Your donations let me get an HD webcam. And it's going to be awesome. We want to mention, of course, all the things we're facing, like the supermoon, killing moon tomorrow. We also have March 22nd coming up next week, and that is 3/22, and that date seems to have interesting things happen. So keep an eye out, 3/22 being the skull and bones number and so many other connections. But you and I may not put much faith in numerology, but the elites certainly do. And lastly, I'll just mention, as I look through my notes here, Do you know why they call it March Madness? Because you'd have to be out of your mind to be paying attention to sports right now. As we glance at Google News, Libya to halt military action. Of course, we do have the UN no-fly resolution, essentially paving the way for new wars of aggression that really do seem to be more and more about resources. Radiation hampers efforts to restore power to nuclear plant in Japan, and Yemen declares a state of emergency, at least 30 killed just earlier, raising fears of a broader conflict. And yeah, you look at their trending top stories, and it's Libya, nuclear power, Lindsay Lohan. You always got to have that little bit of celebrity pap. I'll repeat and remind you, and I've tried to put it out in tons of ways, but that, of course, isn't going to reach everyone, and it didn't stop folks from still asking day after day after day. Yes, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com is safe in Canada. He made it out last Saturday on the 12th. So again, send your thoughts and hopes and prayers and good vibes all that way. Because again, as I believe we said last week, when you think about the people you know who are affected by these mass amounts of changes, you can send your prayers and your love there and try and spread that out and think about all the folks you don't know who are going through hardships we can't even understand. Maybe I'm worried about a little bit of radiation hitting the West Coast, but I have food and I have love. That's just about what it comes down to. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into it and make a note. Beware the Ides of March. Roman dictator Julius Caesar may have been warned that deadly harm would befall him no later than March 15th, but the soothsayer who supposedly delivered the prophetic message couldn't possibly have foretold what he would inspire, including a Simpsons episode called Homer the Great, an episode of Xena, a U.S. rock band, all named and connecting to the Ides of March. Even Oscar winner George Clooney is in on the act, reportedly finishing up his Ides of March, a movie about a presidential campaign in which he acts and directs. Hopefully he's getting support from his friends at the Council on Foreign Relations. Indeed, the supposed encounter that William Shakespeare so tragically depicted in his Julius Caesar, Beware the Ides of March, has become the stuff of popular culture. Samantha Thompson, librarian who manages the New York Public Library's 24/7 reference desk, says about a dozen people regularly ask about the Ides of March at any given branch on March 15th, saying, quote, "It's an example of a famous, ominous prophecy when the world changed." And here in Portland, Oregon, on March 15th, I first heard it from a friend at work who said, "Hey, that station your friend's on, it was just playing a bunch of news." And I first thought, he's probably got the wrong station tuned in, but my man Nate was right. KUFO 101.1 FM, the rock station here in Portland, Oregon, is no more. Alpha Broadcasting, the company that owns it, decided to simulcast one of their talk stations on the AM dial, 750 KXL, now broadcast simulcast on 101.1 FM here in Portland. And the first flag it brings into my mind is, are they prepping us? The first thought when my friend told me, it's like, oh damn, are they switching over to news? Are they prepping for something? Or are they getting all their primary entry point stations ready for our upcoming nationwide presidential emergency alerts? So needless to say, our good friend Clyde Lewis at groundzeromedia.org at the present is without a show. And is without a job, essentially. So we have posted, as we try to always do, the latest articles and podcasts from Clyde Lewis. So what is now the last episode at this point? Terra Mortis, Dead Earth, The Advancing Galactic Wave. This episode featured a guest, Stephen Smith, talking about the electric quake and so much more. So now more than ever, my friends, we need to reach out to help other alternative media outlets and hosts. So not only, as always, would I recommend you donate to Clyde Lewis if you enjoy his show, if you enjoy Ground Zero Media, just as I would say the same for Corbett Report, Tragedy and Hope, Revere, ZeroPointRadio.com. They all need your support to keep going. It's one thing for me who, and I've always tried to, I guess, have a regular jobby job that pays my bills but doesn't take my passion. That way I can do my passion on my terms with no strings attached. I started from scratch and we built it up, and now your help makes it all that much better. So not only would I highly recommend that you donate, cash, help, love, prayers, all of those things, but a phone call to Alpha Broadcasting may help the new KXL pick up the old Ground Zero show. It was the number one show in its time slot, Sunday nights in Portland, Oregon. I think it shows that people want interesting, new, provocative things on the radio and not the same old classic rock crap. It's also interesting that a talk station is that high up on the FM dial. That doesn't generally ever happen, which again raises red flags for me. But I'm going to make a phone call very soon to Alpha Broadcasting and basically say, hey, Ground Zero was the only thing I listened to KUFO. Other than that, the only terrestrial radio station I listen to here is our non-commercial jazz station, KMHD. Non-commercial. Also want to mention, Wednesday, the 16th, I put out episode 209B, a multimedia B-side episode. The last one we've done with our old SD webcam. And all it took was a little NXS music at the beginning to make YouTube wipe out the audio of the entire video. Usually, it recognizes the audio and it tags it and it says this is copywritten, but you don't have to do anything. And it'll sometimes affect viewing in other countries, but I take that as an acceptable loss just to get it up there. But when it blanks out the entire audio track, I just dumped it, deleted it, and didn't upload either part to YouTube. So, it's only on Ustream and Archive. Ustream.tv/channel/MediaMonarchy. It's all linked up for you. And again, if you subscribe to the main feed, feeds.feedburner.com/MediaMonarchy, again, it's the main RSS feed that you'll hit on the page. I have it redirected, so you don't have to remember that. We remember it, so you don't have to. If you subscribe to the main feed, you already got the videos in MP4 podable format. And on there, we go over, of course, all the related alternative news on our sister sites, Food World Order, Cyberspace War, and Holy Hexes. We'll take a couple bits from those on this episode as well. We also want to mention the latest couple of episodes from our aforementioned friends at TragedyandHope.com. Their fantastic educational podcast, number one in educational on Podomatic. PeaceRevolution.org, episode 19 is Autodidactic Self-Liberation, Outgrowing Our Own Misperceptions. We also have episode 20. Originally titled, What If Cannabis Cured Cancer? But I think some sites and some uploads were unsuccessful, perhaps due to that provocative title. So it's known as An Illegal Cure for Cancer? Question mark. Who benefits from its prohibition? And this gets into the work of Jack Harar, the Emperor of Hemp, Rick Simpson of Run from the Cure, Gnostic media, secret societies, so many other things. Again, peacerevolution.org. Fantastic podcast. And I believe there's already an episode 21 about the occult origins of World War, but we have not had time to post that up. We're going to post that up soon, and we'll also put up Clyde Lewis's essay and comments on the loss of KUFO. So many things. So very many things. So it makes a great transition, I guess, for us to hit our one story on holyhexes.com from discussing Gnostic media. Spanish murals show man used magic mushrooms 6,000 years ago. From the Toronto Sun, long before the modern hippie discovered them, magic mushrooms, hallucinogenic fungi, were used by ancient humans in religious ceremonies. Cave paintings discovered in Spain depict fungi with hallucinogenic properties in relation to religious rituals. According to a new article in New Scientist, with a link for you, a row of 13 small mushroom-like objects in the painting also match the known size and shape of so-called magic mushrooms, also called psilocybe hispanica. The report notes, however, that these are not even the oldest representations of magic mushrooms used by people. A similar mural in Algeria dates the practice as far back as 9,000 years. Modern-day hallucinogenic mushrooms are outlawed under many Western countries' drug laws, but the 190 known species grow naturally in much of the world, and the CDC themselves rates the mushrooms as less toxic than aspirin. Which, of course, should remind you that they outlaw nature to sell you their poisonous facsimile. A couple of other related pop culture updates. The Book of Mormon musical by the South Park Boys called Surprisingly Sweet. More on that from BeliefNet.com. And yes, Pope John Paul II, the man about to become a saint. Well, in this day and age, you don't get to sainthood without having your very own Facebook page. That moves us to the latest from cyberspacewar.com. From CNET, White House wants new copyright law crackdown. We discussed last week the gobbling up of public domain pieces of media and the new copyright crackdowns that are coming. The White House proposed sweeping revisions to U.S. copyright law, including making illegal streaming of audio or video a federal felony and allowing FBI agents to wiretap suspected infringers. In a 20-page white paper with a PDF link for you, the Obama administration called on the U.S. Congress to fix deficiencies that could hinder enforcement of intellectual property laws. In October 2008, President Bush signed into law the so-called Pro-IP Act, which created Victoria Espinel. She is the head of the intellectual property czar kingdom under the Obamasiah. The Pro-IP Act created Espinel's position and increased penalties for infringement after expressing its opposition to an earlier version. Unless legislative proposals like one nearly a decade ago implanting strict copy controls in digital devices go too far, digital copyright tends not to be a particularly partisan topic. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act, near universally disliked by programmers and engineers for its anti-circumvention section, was approved unanimously in the U.S. Senate. At the same time, Democratic politicians tend to be a bit more enthusiastic about the topic. Biden was a close Senate ally, and of course, picked top copyright industry lawyers for Justice Department posts of copyright holders and President Obama. Last year, Biden warned that piracy is theft. No less than 78% of political contributions from Hollywood went to Democrats in 2008, which is broadly consistent with the trend for the last two decades, according to OpenSecrets.org. And there's more in that story to CNET, earlier stories, and so many other things. The related update posted at the bottom from The Hill. Democratic representative introduces a bill to give the Department of Homeland Security an even larger cybersecurity role. Because that's what's needed. We need to protect you from yourself. Furthermore, on Cyberspace War, WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange warned Cambridge students who waited hours to hear him speak, the internet is the, quote, greatest spying machine the world has ever seen. Linking to an article from The Guardian, Assange continued, the web is not a technology that favors freedom of speech. It's not a technology that favors human rights. It's not a technology that favors civil life. Rather, it is a technology that can be used to set up a totalitarian spying regime the likes of which we have never seen. Or, on the other hand, taken by us, taken by activists, and taken by all those who want a different trajectory for the technological world, it can be something we all hope for. Has Assange been directed to convince Anglo-American elite the internet represents a threat? And then we tie in Bradley Manning. But is Assange's message shut down the internet to stop a totalitarian spying regime? Is this a war on technology? It seems like both, because the web and nuclear power are under attack. Do the global elite not fancy technology? Does it represent a challenge to their control or domination? Those are questions I'll leave for you. A related DEFCON updates, NASA to use lasers to shoot space junk around the Earth. More from the Daily Mail. The old gray lady, the New York Times, again seeking to charge users for web news. More on that from Reuters, unless it's behind another paywall. And lastly, Homefront. The new video game featuring a North Korean invasion of the U.S. Predictive programming indeed, and we'll have more on North Korea and predictive media programming in a little bit. But speaking of WikiLeaks, anonymous hackers release emails showing Bank of America fraud. This from Business Insider. Hacker group Anonymous, a.k.a. Operation Leaks, on Twitter, just released what they say is a trove of damning documents on Bank of America. You can find them at bankofamericasuck.com. Remember, at this point, we can't verify whether they're legitimate or not, but Gawker's Adrian Chin, who has sources within Anonymous, suggests there's something real to the leaks. Anonymous says the email deals with B of A's mortgage practices, but the source is not an employee of Bank of America proper. The source is a former employee of Balboa Insurance, a firm which used to be owned by B of A. Be wary of A.
Bank of America shares are down after the New York Times reported that a hacker organization released a series of emails from a former employee at the bank that showed how a division of the bank tried to hide information on foreclosures. Bank of America shares are down 1.75% or 25 cents to $14.13 on the news.
Now, our final story on cyberspace war, of course, gets us to what's weighing so heavily, what's raining down on many of us. And there's a piece on cyberspace war. Again, huge thanks to my man Alan in Omaha for doing a great job on cyberspacewar.com. So we'll begin with, I suppose, what would be seen as the most conspiratorial angle. And would this be the conclusion that we would knee-jerk and jump to? Like jumping to conclusions in Office Space? HARP busted in Japan quake. Is everyone imagining things by suspecting HARP of causing 8.9? Of course, we know now it's a 9. Earthquake off the coast of Japan on 3/11. Was HARP turned on March 9th just in time for the foreshocks? Just a year ago, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez suspected U.S. hit Haiti with an earthquake weapon. In January, HARP was suspected for dead birds and fish around the world. In 2008, there was a YouTube video showing rainbow-colored clouds over Sichuan, Japan, just prior to their 7.8 earthquake and thought to be the signature of HARP's disturbance of the atmosphere. Benjamin Fulford, former Forbes Asia Bureau chief, reviews attacks on Japan using HARP, including the 2007 Niigata Japanese earthquake. That video is linked up for you. Benjamin Fulford fingers Poppy Bush and his cronies as responsible for the current HAARP attack. It must be remembered, however, Fulford supposedly ambushed David Rockefeller in 2007 in an advertised confrontational interview, also on YouTube with a link for you. There are rumors Fulford is a Zionist Rockefeller agent. Fulford's access to both Rockefeller and the Yakuza make him suspect as some kind of agent. It is the case that there are large amounts of suspicion surrounding HAARP. That's H-A-A-R-P, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project, as an offensive weapon, and is busted in the minds of many for this current quake. So that's on cyberspacewar.com. HAARP busted in Japan quake. And that was something the other day at work. I had a coworker ask me, "So you really think a government has an earthquake machine?" You posted something about it. And at first I was like, I don't think I posted anything about it, because in a way I kind of tried to stay away from that initially. Yes, of course, in our massive updates and archive of stories related to the Japanese meltdown, we will make a couple of references to HAARP. I was like, I don't think so. But then I realized it was the aforementioned Cyberspace War article that mentions HAARP. That, of course, all gets auto-fed out and auto-posted to Facebook.com/Media Monarchy and Twitter and all those things. I said, oh, are you talking about HAARP? Well, HAARP exists, and it can affect the weather. Was it used? I don't know. His very next words to another employee were, yeah, it's the first day of March Madness. So, of course, I know that he's paying a lot of attention to what goes on. Try not to be a negative jerk. Let's take our one story this week from foodworldorder.com as it relates from the Associated Press. Wholesale prices rise due to the biggest jump in food costs in over 36 years. Wholesale prices jumped last month by the most in nearly 2 years due to higher energy costs and the steepest rise in food prices in 36 years. Excluding those volatile categories, inflation was tame. The Labor Department said Wednesday that the Producer Price Index, the PPI, rose a seasonally adjusted 1.6 in February, double the 0.8% rise in the previous month. There are other bits and stats and percentages, but food prices soared 3.9% last month, the biggest gain since November 1974. Most of that increase was due to a sharp rise in vegetable costs, which increased nearly 50%. That was the most in almost a year. Meat and dairy products also rose. Energy prices rose 3.3% last month, led by a 3.7% increase in gas costs. Separately, the Commerce Department said home construction plunged to a seasonally adjusted 479,000 homes last month, down 22.5% from the previous month. It was the lowest level since April 09 and the second lowest on records dating back more than half a century. Consumers are paying more for basic necessities. Gas prices spiked in February and are even higher now. But economists suspect the earthquake in Japan to lower oil prices for the next month or two, which should temper increases in wholesale prices in coming months. Oil prices fell sharply Tuesday as fears about Japan's nuclear crisis intensified. Food costs, meanwhile, are rising. Bad weather in the past year has damaged crops in Australia, Russia, and South America, not to mention as well here in the North American Union. Demand for corn ethanol use has also contributed to the increase. Costs also increased for cars, jewelry, and consumer plastics. Our few related binge and purge updates. Japan nuclear crisis raises food and water anxieties. That's from foodsafetynews.com. The Christian Science Monitor and many other outlets reporting on those new Pepsi bottles. Beating Coke to the punch. No more plastic. Again, let's put plants in our cars and in our garbage bottled drinks. Derry Brownfield, legendary Midwest farm broadcaster, dies at the age of 79. More on that from DailyYonder.com. And lastly, returning, oh no, it's not food safety news, it's the Food Poison Journal. More than you ever wanted to know about food poisonings like E. coli, salmonella, listeria, botulism, and more. Just nice little bullet points that are simple to take in. So that sets the table for our coverage of Killing Moon, nuclear winter, West Coast fallout, and the Japanese meltdown. When I first posted the main story last Saturday, March 12th, it was under the headline, Oregon officials say no public health risk from Japan nuclear emergency. With KMTR reporting that events in Japan pose no health risk in Oregon at this time. Meanwhile, KPTV reporting that geologists say a Japan-like quake could happen here, and of course is long overdue for the Pacific Northwest. So we'll take it again from last Saturday, and even probably several headlines from the night before. And this is all going to go chronologically. From our own Oregonian, nuclear experts from Oregon and the U.S. responded Saturday to an explosion at a Japanese nuclear plant, saying there's no reason to believe large waves of radiation will cross the Pacific Ocean. Air quality remained normal in Oregon, the Oregon Health Authority said last Saturday afternoon. This is now almost a week ago. In a written statement, department officials said the blast posed no risk to the state. The U.S. Energy Department also said last Saturday there were no immediate impacts in the U.S. There is no indication whatsoever that materials from the incidents of Japan have potential to have any meaningful effect on the U.S. homeland. So said Stephanie Mueller, U.S. Energy Department's press secretary, in an email to the Oregonian. Mueller said U.S. officials continue to work with the Japanese government to review the situation and will provide whatever assistance they request to help bring the reactors under control. Yet, many people wrote in blogs and online forums questioning whether a jet stream might carry the radiation over to the U.S. Asked one Oregonian commenter, "Should I tell my grandson that he's possibly being exposed to extra radiation here in Oregon from this event? Or that the wind will bring it over in a week or so?" Saturday's hydrogen explosion ripped through a concrete shell around the reactor, but didn't tear the primary steel container that housed the nuclear reactor. That means the plant's radioactive materials remain largely contained, said Brian Woods, an Oregon State nuclear engineer professor who studies reactor safety. Although it sounds really, really bad, the reality is that this primary containment is intact. And as long as it's intact, no large amounts of radioactive material will make it out. For that reason, Woods characterized Saturday's explosion as an entirely different thing than the Chernobyl disaster. The reactor lacked the critical primary container, Woods said, and the reactor burned in the open air. Although Saturday's explosion likely released some radioactive material in the air, Woods called the amount relatively small. Areas closest to the reactor would be most affected, he said. We're 3,000 miles away. I would really anticipate a very, very negligible amount of radioactive material making it as far as the U.S. Keep calm and carry on. As this quickly became one of these stories where there's no way I can cover every angle and every development, and there's no way I'm going to make a new post for every new development, so I just began to post data dumps below this main article. And over the last week, I've basically done one every 12 or 24 hours or so. If you go to the front page right now of MediaMonarchy.com, you will see a link to that archive of our breaking news on the Japanese situation. So we begin with our updates going back to March 14th, posted up midnight that night. From Blacklisted News, nuke plant designer says the government is suppressing the crisis scale. If there were a reactor meltdown or major leak at Fukushima, the radioactive cloud would likely be blown out towards the U.S. West Coast.
This explosion at a nuclear plant is making a bad situation potentially worse in quake-stricken Japan. The nuclear plant momentarily vanished behind a cloud of white smoke Saturday. It's not clear how much radiation is leaking from the plant or if a meltdown might occur. This resident says he thinks it's safe now, but worries about what radiation may have already reached them. This comes as the country is scrambling to get on its feet following Friday's earthquake. The 8.9 magnitude quake and the tsunami that followed destroyed a vast swath of northern Japan. The death toll is near 600, but there are fears that number could far exceed 1,000. The nation's prime minister is vowing the country will do the best it can to rescue all survivors. However, the fear is many of those missing were simply washed away.
We're over here to help protect the Japanese people, so I'm excited to go up there.
The U.S. military has been quick to help where it can. Here, U.S. service members have been loading aid onto helicopters to help those affected. Meantime, we are getting our first look at some of the most devastated regions. This was the largest city closest to the epicenter, and as you can see, there is very little of anything left to salvage. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
There's been another blast at a stricken Japanese nuclear power plant, the second hydrogen explosion at Fukushima Daiichi in 3 days. The detonation at the plant's Unit 3 sent a massive column of smoke into the air and was felt 40 kilometers, some 25 miles away. Officials said 11 workers were injured. Japan's chief cabinet secretary Yukio Edano read a statement about what happened.
今回の事象は...
We assume that there was a similar explosion at the third reactor as the one that occurred at the first reactor. At this point, we can confirm that the container of the reactor is sound. Experts also expect that the possibility of radioactive particles set free is low.
Still, the aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan, which had been engaged in aid operations over the weekend, did report detecting low-level radioactive contamination, though it can't be clear if that came from Monday's explosion. The U.S. military says it has now shifted its offshore forces away from the plant. Cabinet Secretary Edano said the blast has triggered an order for people left in the area to stay indoors. More than 180,000 have already been evacuated, and around 160 may have been exposed to radiation. Worried residents had already been getting checked out for traces of contamination Sunday. Tokyo Electric Power Company, which operates the plant, said radiation at Unit 3 was well under the levels where a nuclear operator is required to file a report to the government. Edano's assurance that the inner containment vessel holding nuclear rods was intact may have allayed some fears about the risk to the environment and the public. TV footage of the building housing a reactor appeared to show damage similar to the blast at Unit 1 on Saturday. The outer wall seemed shorn off, leaving only a skeletal frame. The problems have been caused by system failure following Friday's massive earthquake and tsunami. Plant operators have been forced to inject seawater into their reactors to cool them and avoid a meltdown, but doing so has triggered hydrogen explosions instead. Officials warn the process is now underway at Fukushima's Unit 2 reactor as well, leading to fears the use of seawater there may trigger a blast just as it already has at Units 1 and 3. Word has also come that fuel rods at Unit 2 were exposed, raising the risk of overheating there. Karen Sloan, The Associated Press.
Japan has declared an emergency alert at another nuclear power plant in the northeast of the country. Radiation levels of about 700 times higher than normal have reportedly been detected at the facility in Onagawa, where authorities are currently investigating their source. Well, for more opinion on the threat of a nuclear crisis in Japan, let's talk to Harvey Wasserman. He's written extensively on the subject of a sustainable green-powered Earth. He joins me live now from Ohio. Many thanks for being with us here on RT. Now, Japanese officials insist that there is no danger for people in relation to the crises affecting its nuclear plant. Well, obviously, they do want to avoid panic, but just how bad really is the current situation there, do you think?
Very bad. It's very bad. We have now reports of 6 reactors that are under stress. We've had at least a partial meltdown at at least one reactor. We've already had to attempt to flood a reactor with seawater. The problem is that when nuclear reactors go down, they still require electric power to operate pumps to keep the reactors and the spent fuel cool, and this power has been lacking, and we could conceivably, God forbid, have 6 meltdowns here. This is not a situation to be taken lightly. I do not believe the Japanese government when they say that no one is at risk. They're saying no one's at risk, but simultaneously they're evacuating people. I want to applaud them for evacuating the people, but this is a situation where the risk is very, very substantial.
Well, of course, as you've been saying, the Japanese government has repeatedly stressed that it does not believe people are at risk. But as we were saying, there is now trouble at the second power plant in Onagawa, away from the Fukushima plant. And that second issue started with a fire, which was quickly put out. But now radiation levels there are rising rapidly in the vicinity. So is there a danger that other nuclear facilities could experience difficulty there?
Well, we've actually had three, and you have to remember there are multiple reactors at these facilities. Unlike other places in the world, the Japanese reactors are clustered. There were seven, for example, at Kashiwazaki in 2007 when they were hit by an earthquake, and all seven of those reactors had to shut. There are two separate multiple facilities at Fukushima, and now we have Onagawa as well. You remember that 11 reactors were shut when the earthquake came. We don't know how many of those reactors are suffering from severe engineering and operational problems, but it looks like far more than was originally believed. This is a huge earthquake, which by some accounts has actually been upgraded to 9.0, which is just about the peak of the scale. And these reactors were not designed to sustain a 9.0 earthquake, even though people knew it was a possibility. So we have, as I say, 11 reactors are shut. We now know that six are under stress, any one of which could cause a hugely devastating radiation release. There is no way that the people of Japan are not in danger, and I'm afraid that a large enough release could affect Russia.
And, of course, perhaps here on the West Coast. That was the nuke plant designer saying the government's suppressing the crisis scale. That was from Russia Today, and we heard two bits from the Associated Press before this. In this avalanche of news, I have a ton of clips, and perhaps some of them might be a little bit out of order, but hopefully we can effectively kind of tell this story for you. We're going to continue through all of our related breaking news updates and this news archive, all posted below the main post again. Oregon officials say no public health risk from Japan nuclear emergency. There have been a lot of tracking pages put out from a lot of different websites, and we'll cover a bit of those. There's also an emergency action alert from Michael Rupert's CollapseNet.com. Pacific coast of North America should brace for radioactive fallout. We have Google's crisis response tracking page. There's the InfoWars tracking page, Japan's nuclear meltdown, aftershocks and fallout. Cryptogon on the implications of the Japanese earthquake. We also have a Japan tsunami and nuclear alert, live coverage, live blog updates from The Guardian, and there's also a great site you should check out called RadiationNetwork.com, real-time tracking of U.S. radiation levels, and let's just hit the link right now. The levels I see for my area in Portland, Oregon are as low as they've ever been in my last several days of watching this site. Again, RadiationNetwork.com. I believe one of the guys was on the IntelHub.com radio show yesterday. Meanwhile, from the IntelHub.com, 10,000 dead in Japan amid fears of nuclear meltdown. Reuters reporting new reactor blast unlikely to cause big leak. Grist.org asking, will Japan be hit with multiple nuclear meltdowns in wake of tsunami? Explosion at Reactor 3 confirmed, outer wall collapsed. Meanwhile, KPTV reports Prime Minister of Japan called the crisis the worst since World War II. Volcano erupts in southern Japan. Thanks to RogueGovernment.com for catching that story, and we'll catch, and you'll see, the memes and the stories that surround everything. And again, that's what I try my best to do, is to cover these memes and to cover these stories and to lay them out for you. I may not be able to connect all the dots, but that's where I require your assistance and participation in this. Participation, if you will. Meltdown in Japanese nuclear power plant, a disaster waiting to happen. That's from allgov.com, getting into the history of this plant, and we'll reference a little bit more of that in a few minutes. Director of Domestic Nuclear Detection Office, who is Warren Stern? That's a great series from allgov.com. They cover a lot of the government, cabinet, and other czar-level officials. And, of course, last week, 3/11, they love the dates. 3/11, Battle of Los Angeles, and earthquake tsunami strike Japan. More on that from Astrocologist. And there's also a note of predictive programming concerning Japanese earthquakes within the film 2012, which I can't help but think of the part that has John Cusack noting that when the government tells you not to panic, that means it's time to panic. And isn't it interesting the way this story has been told? I gotta admit, my girlfriend and I were kind of surprised our parents didn't call us this week. Are they not paying attention? Are they not know? I think a lot of people aren't paying attention, unfortunately. Does that make me feel better or make me feel worse? We'll hit this at some point in our data dump here. But these are the same folks that said the air was safe to breathe at Ground Zero just 7 days after 9/11. Now, it's coming at me from all ends. Someone on Instant Messenger for PRA Radio just asked about Zulcan hyper days, increased earthquake volcano activity on those days. I have not heard that term. We'll have to look more into that. But yes, we have the supermoon, the killing moon, coming tomorrow. Will that have an effect on our environment? Is it HAARP? Is it the sun? Is it all of those things? Is there too much evidence? Like murder on the Orient Express? Furthermore, updates from March 14th, posted up at noon Pacific time. Health officials predict no radiation risk in Oregon from damaged Japanese reactor. That's from the Outlook Online. Nuclear expert says radiation could spread to the West Coast. Meanwhile, NationalJournal.com reporting Japanese officials say nuclear fuel rods appear to be melting in three reactors. Japanese government cover-up foreshadows mega disaster. And ABC Australia noting nuclear crisis highlights history of cover-ups. And I noticed last night that the China Syndrome, the film with Michael Douglas and Jane Fonda, is now listed as having a long wait on the DVD queue on Netflix. Predictive programming. Radioactive releases at Fukushima could last months. That's from the New York Times. U.S. carrier crew said to be exposed to radiation from Japan. That's the USS Ronald Reagan. Despite contamination, Navy copters keep aiding Japan. That's from Danger Room. Tokyo Electric to build U.S. nuclear plants. That and more no BS info on Japan's disastrous nuclear operators from GregPallast.com. And as always, provocative piece from Gordon Duff. Oh no, this is from Eric May. It's on VeteransToday.com, the new Hiroshima, part one, deadly discovery. And then we move to the Ides of March. Updates for March 15th, posted up 11 a.m. Pacific time. Reed College professor from right here in Oregon says there's little to fear in Oregon.
One of the biggest questions surrounding the disaster in Japan is what's happening with that nation's damaged nuclear plant.
To help us answer that question, we're joined live this morning by Stephen Frantz, director of the nuclear research program over Reed College. We appreciate you joining us this morning. Tell us what the Japanese are dealing with there as they try to prevent a meltdown at this plant. We're hearing about explosions and all kinds of problems.
They've lost the ability to cool off the reactor, and without the ability to cool the reactor for the first several days, there's a good chance, in fact it's probable, that there will be a meltdown at the reactor. Now, the most probable health effect of a meltdown in a nuclear reactor is zero, that even if the fuel melts, if the containment stays intact, there would probably be no health effects.
So if the nuclear rods melt down, melt together, and actually burn through the containment area,
I keep hearing that it would burn through the bottom. Does that go into soil, or how does that actually escape? Where does it go? What does it do?
If the fuel were to melt together and get through the containment vessel, then there would be a release to the public, and there would probably be a health effect to the public. But I think reasonable studies and the experiences of Three Mile Island indicate that that's not likely to happen. The fuel is likely to melt, slump into the bottom of the reactor vessel, and stay there.
If we can, for a minute, talk about what's happening just now around the world, that this has happened in Japan. You see not only our country, but Europe as well, starting to take a closer look at nuclear power plants. Some countries suspending the building of new ones while they look at how safe they are in a disaster like this. What do you think about that precaution that's being taken right now?
Well, this generation of reactors is 40 years old, and they have a proven safety record and a track record. This accident's far beyond anything they've even designed for, and although the reactors are going to be destroyed, I believe, again, I don't think there'll be a public health effect. They're working in this country and overseas on a new generation of reactors that don't even need electricity after they shut down, in which case this wouldn't even have made the news.
Now, the Fukushima Daiichi plant there has had some controlled releases of slightly radioactive gases or vapors. Oregon and Washington health authorities say that they're monitoring the air here to make sure that no radiation reaches us. Should we be concerned about that?
Well, they have been releasing radioactive material into the air in Japan, and they're monitoring that. By the time any of the radioactive material reaches here, I'm glad to hear the state's monitoring it. But there is going to be zero health effect here in the United States based on this release. There might be a health effect in Japan, but nothing here.
All right, Stephen Frantz, thank you for joining us, coming in early this morning to kind of explain this to us in layman's terms. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So many ifs and probablys and based ons. Meanwhile, fallout. Eugene, Oregon stores see a run on radiation exposure tablets. That's from the Register Guard, and we will return to that meme several more times. Japan noted the Mirror back on the 15th that they're less than 48 hours away from a nuclear disaster unless meltdown is stopped. That's pretty much where we are. Reuters live blog on the Japan earthquake. Meanwhile, the Daily Mail reporting America on nuclear alert after Fukushima explosion. Russia's Vladimir Zhirinovsky, who I first heard mention now decade and a half ago from a spoken word album from Jello Biafra, Russia's Zhirinovsky calls on Japanese to just move to Russia. 14 Reasons Why the Economic Collapse of Japan Has Begun. That is from the economiccollapseblog.com. Copycateffect.blogspot.com noting the twilight language of the supermoon rising, and there's a fantastic graphic to go along with that posted on this data dump. And Lauren Coleman of Copycat Effect does a great job of looking at the dates and the clusters, and again, as is called, the twilight language. We ask the question, where are all the looters? That question coming from shtfplan.com. And most seem to say, well, it's a cultural thing. Meanwhile, the CIA sends U.S. aid to Japan to manage their nuclear disinfo campaign. USAID, we've made references to them being an intelligence-connected front, and that's who they send. You see the reaction. That's, you know, the real actions and the reaction. You see who they send. You see who the connected cronies are. And you see the spin. Updates for March 15th, 11 p.m. Pacific Time. A fantastic piece from NewWorldOrderReport.com. Don't trust the mainstream media. Not sure exactly what's going on with Japan's failing nuclear reactors. This article was written to hopefully answer those questions. Meanwhile, again, from the Economic Collapse blog, 27 signs the crisis is much worse than mainstream media or Japanese government are telling us. The logical assessment of Japan's nuclear disaster, frequently asked questions discussed on Jack Blood's DeadlineLive.info. Returning to the IntelHub.com, a level 6 event. That's where we were then. Radiation levels soar as radioactive winds sweep towards Tokyo. Meanwhile, alert of Fukushima cover-up, 40 years of spent nuclear rods blown sky high. Oh, but these are the the sides that we see. This is what we're torn between. This is what's leading to the cognitive dissonance within even my own self. You can stop worrying about a radiation disaster in Japan, and here's why, from BusinessInsider.com. Meanwhile, LA Times, potential radiation risk to California is downplayed, but Fukushima workers withdraw after radiation spikes, from the BBC and The Guardian, but it was only temporarily. Demand for anti-radiation drug surges, that's from the New York Times, and the question, is the U.S. government blocking Americans from obtaining potassium iodide? That's based on one phone call to one popular radio show. PressCorps.ca reporting on HAARP magnetometer data showing earthquake was induced. I haven't, like I said, figured all of this out. Is it HAARP? Or, hey, it's the sun. Meanwhile, from Danger Room, the team of rivals, U.S. and China, come to Japan's quake aid. And you can see the New World Order coming together before our very eyes. Now, we mentioned a few minutes ago the Zolkin cycle, T-Z-O-L-K-I-N. And we have a site called EmergentCulture.com that covers this story that we don't have time to go into. And again, I just got hit with this on the instant messenger, so there's constant news updates coming. And we are Media Monarchy on AIM and instant messengers. Hyper day. This concerns the sun. This concerns the solar cycles. And there is an advisory for March 18th through the 23rd. Updates from March 16th, 10 p.m. Pacific Time. UN says radiation to hit U.S. by Friday. That is today, my friends, March 18th, 2011. Only want to see you laughing in that purple rain. That's from Washington's blog. First radiation particles from damaged reactors likely to hit California Friday. That's economicpolicyjournal.com. Tokyo radiation levels 23 times normal. That's from MarketWatch. U.S. Navy detects radiation 200 miles from Japan nuclear plant. That's from Fox News. Meanwhile, again, Washington's blog notes that international citizens have taken it upon themselves to set up radiation monitoring networks, such as the IntelHub.com, to monitor West Coast radiation hearings. And I want to thank my man Alex of the IntelHub.com for reaching out and getting in touch with me yesterday as we discussed what we're thinking, what we're doing. Interestingly enough, potassium iodide pills was the one thing I did have. I believe I picked some up a few years ago, probably during all the Terranoia drills here in Portland, top off, and all the other related military terror drills. And they're still good. They're still good for another year and a half. Hopefully, it's not going to come to that. And we'll get to something you can do and something that I'm doing. But still, so many more related headlines. Underground info on what's happening in Japan. A dirty bomb waiting to go off. More on that from naturalnews.com. Nuke pills top $200 a pack on auction sites. Prices jump 1,900% in just a few days. Culturechange.org asking, is this it? Collapse and a new dawn triggered from Japan. Watch the language. Meanwhile, yen hit its highest against the dollar since 1995 on radiation concerns. That's from Business Week. And lastly, from CNN, U.S. military blocks websites to help Japan recovery efforts. Just as we discussed in the radio world of these primary entry point stations and these emergency alert notifications and the upcoming nationwide presidential emergency alerts. They want you off the road. In the event of an emergency, they will take it over. Will it be a one-button wonder, or will it just be some diplomatic phone call saying, yo, shut it down? And you say, yes, sir. Updates from last night, March 17th, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, from the Beaver Journal. Will a nuclear meltdown in Japan impact Oregon? And wouldn't you know it, radiation reassurance. Releases from nuclear plant in Japan pose no risk in Oregon, health officials say in a press conference held in Oregon on Wednesday.
Welcome to Portland Fire Bureau's webcast. Today we're going to be having a conversation with some local and state experts on radiation issues with the recent developments that we're all aware of. Let me start with just a couple introductory statements. I want to make clear what our mission is today in this short podcast. Number one, we're trying to dial this in and give it some perspective. There are a lot of media outlets with a lot of information. We want to make sure that you get specifically what you need that causes you concern. So perspective compared to disasters that have been happening around the world, very, very important. So we're going to concentrate on what's important for you and your family and to ensure that there are no risks for you. We will have these experts together. The second thing that I want to emphasize is that we brought these people together because we want to talk with one voice. I want to say the same thing so that you can understand that this is consistent and that we are speaking with folks that understand radiation and health implications, if any. Also, Portland Office of Emergency Management has the auspices to have an umbrella over this whole response, and that Portland Fire and the Metro UASI Urban Area Securities Initiative region has over the last years, especially since 9/11, obtained new federally purchased equipment, including RAD monitoring and medical care point issues. We have procedures, training consistently with all of these partners so that we are prepared in case anything natural or man-caused happens. And so let me open this up to Gail and let you speak a little bit about what, from the Health Division, what you would like the folks to know.
Sure. Well, first of all, Grant, I'm delighted to join you and my other colleagues and partners here. It really is part of our ongoing coordination, communication, and monitoring of the situation in Japan. There's no question, there's a horrible tragedy there in that country, and our hearts and thoughts go to all the people there. We are a part of a nationwide monitoring effort together with other states, territorialities throughout the Pacific region, throughout the entire country, and have been for more than 20 years. This is not a monitoring effort that we have stood up in response to the events in Japan. We have been collecting air precipitation radiation data for more than 20 years, and I'm happy to provide some information about what we're finding, which is nothing above what we see all the time. But the most important thing is to know that state public health is the lead agency. Environmental public health, which is my responsibility as the administrator for the state of Oregon, is in very close and constant contact and coordination with all of the other states, with a wide range of federal partners, including the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Homeland Security, Environmental Protection Agency, Health and Human Services, Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The list goes on. We receive updated information, try to understand, as we all are, what's going on in Japan. And our most important mission is to make sure that people have the information they need to keep themselves and their families safe. We are doing that now, and we will continue to do that as this situation unfolds.
Officials say Oregon safe from radiation. That's from KMED. Radiation risk? Not much. That's from KBND, pulling a lot of local, regional newspapers and websites from the Pacific Northwest. Meanwhile, BandonWesternWorld.com noting Oregon information line set up for questions about radiation. So when I saw the story, I immediately called the hotline. And of course, it's a recorded message. Then they also note, oh yeah, we're closed Friday due to budget cuts. Meanwhile, from naturalnews.com, urgent radiation preparedness action items for California, Oregon, Washington State, British Columbia, Yukon, and Alaska. And I took some of that to heart. And again, like I said, yes, I've got some potassium iodide pills, but it doesn't look like we're going to need them, I believe. And again, we may have to rely more on independent citizens monitoring what's going on. Just as in so many other areas, that's why there is a growing alternative media. But there are some superfoods that you can load up on. And I picked up seaweed. Nori sheets. You know, that you wrap sushi in. Munch on those. Also, some chlorella and spirulina. And I did learn from my own store. And again, I work at a somewhat organic, Oregon-only grocery store here in Portland, Oregon. And I had somebody ask me, and I didn't know this. We were out of kelp powder in the bulk herb section. So I went to go get the refill and saw, oh, there isn't any. And the woman said, you know why? People are buying it up as a radiation prevention. And I didn't know that, so I learned it. I also want to send a huge thanks to my man, Zach, again, who was on episode 200 in studio interview, for being in touch with me so much during this past week and for letting him, you know, send him texts at 1 in the morning. And we just really, I think, kind of kept each other grounded and kept each other informed as we were both working at different locations of the same company store. He noted a lot of panicked, frightened individuals. At my store, I didn't really note that at all, except for the few folks who were quietly picking up kelp and seaweed and some of those other related things. A quick clip from the IntelHub.com notes that the UN forecast for diluted radioactive fallout heading to the West Coast, and we can take a look at that New York Times animation graphic, but it only projects up until today, the 18th, and it seems to show radiation coming right our way, right to the West Coast. And I believe I also heard mention, this may have been in the chat room over at ZeroPointRadio.com, another great way, and another huge thanks to those guys for, again, being a ground control to Major James. Was there a reversal of this jet stream? Does that happen naturally? And is it real? U.S. West Coast boosts alert for Japan radiation. That's from the AFP. Feds deploy more radiation monitors in the western U.S. That's from NationalTerrorAlert.com. Meanwhile, Tokyo passengers trigger airport detectors in Dallas. That's from Bloomberg. Japan radiation sets off Chicago O'Hare Airport alarms. That's from CBS News. And Businessweek reporting that the FAA and the airlines are monitoring radiation plumes over the Pacific Ocean. A note on FireDogLake.com, seeking KI. The CDC needs to speak up. And this surrounds KI, the technical term for potassium iodide. And we see it all around, this panic. And that's where the order out of chaos comes from. Americans rush to the drugstore in nuclear fallout panic.
Threat of a meltdown and mass radiation is prompting fears right here in Austin. Jared Wise talks with an expert to understand the real risk.
Phones have definitely been just ringing off the hook.
It's been a busy day at People's Pharmacy in Austin for one product in particular.
Between, I mean, what is it, Saturday to today? I mean, that's just, do you have any potassium iodide?
And it's not just here. Other pharmacies and food stores all over town are completely out of the product, which is sold as a pill and liquid form of iodine and another form called iodorol.
But that's what people are asking for, and it's not available.
I was very surprised to hear that people were buying potassium iodide. Because in Austin, the need for that material is non-existent.
Dale Klein is the Vice Chancellor for Research for the University of Texas System. Just 2 years ago, he was a chairman for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
And as my colleague in Japan said, the situation is very, very serious, but not hopeless.
This core would not be able to melt down.
Right here in Austin, the University of Texas has its own smaller version of a nuclear reactor at the Pickle Research Laboratory, used specifically for research purposes.
If it were to drain, the fuel would not be damaged.
There are similarities between this reactor and the one in Japan, except for the fact that this reactor can shut off quicker and dissipate heat faster, which eliminates a meltdown.
It's very unique of what's happening in Japan.
And because of the radiation lingering around the Fukushima plant, it may take months before crews can venture inside the reactors to see the damage left behind. But Klein feels this disaster won't be remembered as a nuclear disaster, but for the thousands who lost their lives in the earthquake and tsunami.
Now, I asked for the potassium iodide. I was told that's just for a specific kind of radiation. It's not even a cure, but preventative. And a shortage is a real problem because some people use it for other medical purposes. Many of the stores we spoke to that are out are planning to get another shipment in the next few days. Reporting live in the studio, Jared Wise, KXAN, Austin News.
We have a Fox News alert for you. Japanese officials now warning of a possible meltdown.
170,000 people have been evacuated. We're hearing of multiple explosions.
This could trigger a meltdown.
Worst case scenario,
a full-blown meltdown.
Meltdown.
Meltdown. Fears of a nuclear catastrophe in Japan are being shared by people on America's West Coast. Up and down California, we've been getting reports of people taking extra precautions in case a radioactive cloud is able to make it a couple thousand miles across the Pacific. People have been stockpiling these iodine pills in order to protect their body from radioactive exposure. Now, one of those people that is taking that extra precaution met at a health food store. This is Aaron Gonzalez. Now, tell us why you felt that it was so necessary to go out and buy these pills.
Just for my own protection, and I've been following several subscribers on YouTube that broke the news early, so I was able to make it to Whole Foods and beat the crowd, and I was able to get a hold of several bottles of the potassium iodine pills so I can distribute to my family and friends.
Besides the pills, have you heard of any other people taking extra precautions to prepare for a possible radioactive cloud coming this way?
Yes, I've heard people saran wrapping their doors and windows, loading up on rice and grains, storing water.
Repeatedly, we've been hearing from U.S. government officials who say that America poses no problem. However, we also heard from the U.S. Surgeon General recently, who was here in California and asked about the possible dangers of radioactivity coming to California. When asked if people were okay to buy plenty of these iodine tablets, she said that she did not think that it was overreacting, and she thought it was completely fine for people to be prepared.
What's your reaction?
Oh, it's definitely appropriate. We have to be prepared. I mean, we've learned from anything. In my experience in Katrina, we need to be as prepared as we can.
Up and down the state, we've been getting reports from pharmacies that the iodine pills meant to protect against radioactive exposure have been flying off of store shelves. The same can be said for online retailers who have told customers that they may have to wait weeks for the next shipment. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't still find them online. eBay is selling $10 bottles for hundreds of dollars these days just because they know that the demand is there. So there's definitely people who are profiting off of this panic. In Los Angeles, Ramon Galindo, RT.
Furthermore, on helium.com, the magnetic monster geomagnetic field reveals increasing danger of continent-killing quakes. Meanwhile, a nuclear disaster or accident in the U.S. would, of course, cost the sucker taxpayer a fortune. ABC News reporting on the Fukushima Mark I nuclear reactor design caused a GE scientist to quit in protest 35 years ago. Dale G. Bridenbaugh and two of his colleagues at General Electric resigned from their jobs after becoming increasingly convinced that the nuclear reactor design they were reviewing, the Mark I, was so flawed it could lead to a devastating accident. And now you have it. More on the Pentagon cover-up of data on the Fukushima disaster as the Japan reactor emergency passes the Three Mile Island on a scale of nuclear disasters. And as we heard referenced in one of our clips we've already heard, now in an unprecedented move, the U.S. has authorized evacuations of American citizens from Japan.
The President of the United States has authorized a military-assisted voluntary departure of dependents from Japan. So what does that mean? That means within the next 24 hours, there will be Air Force cargo, Air Force passenger airplanes landing here at Atsugi and taking first women and children out of here, most likely over to Korea, for 1 or 2 days, and then for further transfer to some other place, whether that's the United States or that part of it has not come through with the plan yet. Those that know about the reactors and nuclear power believe, including Admiral Van Buskirk, 7th Fleet, believe that it is best for all of us that are the military to be able to, as far as mission readiness, to remove our families from the calculus. The order of departure, women and children first, non-essential personnel second, essential personnel third, and then me. Okay, this is, again, it's unprecedented.
And there's the fantastic broadcast from our own military. Our last chunk of updates posted this morning, March 18th, 8 a.m. Pacific time, from Fox News. EPA says no health risk from radiation heading to California. News Junkie Post saying rumors and misinfo create undue panic. Meanwhile, mainstream experts predict radiation in U.S. will be harmless, again from theintelhub.com. Meanwhile, back here in the North American Union, tsunami sinks dozens of boats in California. VOA News says Japan's PM noting the nuclear situation is very grave as hopes fade for finding more survivors. That's from the Boston Globe. Meanwhile, Japan weighs the need to bury their nuclear plant, trying to restore power. That's from Reuters. And from CNET, power line for Japan reactor could come Saturday. And if you dig way down to the end of the article, they'll note that resupplying and reconnecting the power could cause a big, huge, catastrophic explosion. Evacuation zones around the Fukushima nuclear plant, again, from theintelhub.com, one of the better sources covering this situation that I found. And our last couple of notes. Isn't it interesting? XRAD, the U.S. military's radiation wonder drug, again from Fox News. These are tragic, intense days indeed. The immense loss of life and absolute devastation caused by last week's earthquake and tsunami is heartbreaking. Let's get to the heart of it. XRAD, EX-RAD, the secret military anti-radiation wonder drug. Do you get any? Absolutely not, slave. It's not for you. Someone also noted in the comments, or perhaps on Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, that interestingly enough, in a video game, there's a military radiation wonder drug. And I think it's called Rad-X. And I believe that game is called Fallout. All just a coincidence. Our very final note on this massive post. Oregon officials say no public health risk from Japan nuclear emergency, and that's where you'll find all the related breaking news updates that we've just gone over. Our last note, again, from theintelhub.com, March Madness and the Western response to Japan. Obama sure does play a mean fiddle, doesn't he? As things are falling apart, you have people paying attention to the bread and circus and paying attention to their brackets for March Madness. And I'll once again tell you my joke that I came up with myself and you're more than welcome to run with and spread it around. You know why they call it March Madness? Because you'd have to be out of your mind to be paying attention to sports at a time like this. I shouldn't even have to tell you at this point, we're well into hour number two of this episode 210 from MediaMonarchy.com. Yes, it is March 18th, 2011. Yes, my name's James Eppenpilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. We have a few other related clips, and again, as I noted, some of those may have gotten out of order as I was buried under the avalanche of articles and audio and video and all of the things related. So as a way of closing this area out before we move into some of our other posts, and we'll see that, as we always say, it's all related. We follow the memes and try and tell you the story of the week. Let's get our last few related clips on the Killing Moon, nuclear winter, West Coast fallout, and the Japanese meltdown.
Joining us now is Joe Cirincione, who's an expert on nuclear issues. Mr. Cirincione, Japanese officials are now talking about fighting two partial meltdowns in nuclear reactors. Briefly, what's going on and potentially how dangerous?
This is an unprecedented crisis. It is extremely serious. One of the reactors has had half their core exposed already. This is the one they're now flooding with seawater in a desperate effort to prevent it from a complete meltdown. They also have lost control of a second reactor right next to it that is a partial meltdown. And there actually is a third reactor at a related site about 20 kilometers away that they've also lost control over. So you have multiple reactor crises at the same time. We've never had a situation like this
and
before.
What does it mean if you have a meltdown of a nuclear core?
The worst case scenario is that the fuel rods fuse together. The temperatures get so hot that they melt together into a radioactive molten mass that bursts through the containment mechanisms and is exposed to the outside. So they spew radioactivity into the ground, into the air, into the water. Some of that radioactivity could carry in the atmosphere to the west coast of the United States.
Really? I mean, thousands of miles across the Pacific.
Oh, absolutely. In Chernobyl, which happened about 25 years ago, the radioactivity spread around the entire northern hemisphere. It depends how many of these cores melt down and how successful they are on containing it once this disaster happens.
Now, you talked about the possibility of a huge exposure. The Japanese officials so far have evacuated people 12 miles from these plants. Is that far enough?
Not under a meltdown scenario. And you've seen these evacuation radiuses extend as the crisis has developed. First it was 2, then it was 6, now it's 12. We're told by some reporters on the ground that actually 50 kilometers out they're being blocked from access. So the effective evacuation area is actually larger than the official one that's been declared.
Put this in context. Japanese officials had been rating this as a 4 on a scale that I didn't even know existed of 1 to 7 for nuclear events. How does the situation in Japan, as it now stands, compared to Three Mile Island in this country in 1979 and Chernobyl that you mentioned in Russia in 1986?
If it were to stop right now, 4 might be a fair categorization of this, a local event without significant injury. But if it continues, it will certainly get to 5, which is the Three Mile Island category of a serious event. We almost lost Three Mile Island. It almost went meltdown. It stopped at the last minute. That's the situation we're fighting to maintain here in Japan. If there actually is a meltdown, that puts it into a 6, even a 7. That's the Chernobyl category, a serious nuclear incident with potential for large-scale loss of life.
So what are we talking about? 12 hours, 24, 48 hours? And what are the keys as to whether this becomes just a serious accident or a catastrophe?
We're in the key period right now. So the next 12 to 24 hours will tell us whether the Japanese officials are able to get control back over these reactors or it's gone, it's lost. The pumping of the seawater into reactor number 1 is that last-ditch effort to try to stop it before it's too late. If they can succeed, if they can hold it for the next 24 hours or so, then these reactor cores will cool down and will be in a glide path to containing this disaster.
Mr. Cerincione, we're going to have to leave it there. We want to thank you so much for coming in and helping to shed light, help us understand what's happening in Japan right now.
Thank you, sir. Chris.
Are you confident that the Japanese government will be very transparent, very cooperative with the nuclear watchdog of the United Nations, and namely IAEA? What do you think of the issue of transparency? Do you think to avoid furthering the impact and the panic that might be caused?
Well, this is, you know, sadly the case. I said that the Japanese nuclear program, one of the major builders of nuclear power plants is Toshiba Westinghouse, a U.S.-Japanese joint company. And the problem here is that the United States, when they sent over their planning team, they did not send anyone from their nuclear safety agency or from the Department of Energy. They sent members of the USAID, which is basically intelligence officials. So already the cover-up is going on at very high level in Washington and Tokyo. And the cover-up does extend not only to geopolitical issues, to technical issues, but also, you know, we have Misawa Air Base was hit in the affected area up north Aomori Prefecture. And this is the main espionage reconnaissance base with huge antennas, T-3 Orion aircraft.
watched a Japanese sandman like a ball from the blue. He is no second-hand man. He'll take no old days from you. He will bring you some sorrow long before you are through. And he'll give you tomorrow what was coming to you. Then you'll be a bit wiser in the dawn when you wake. He'll throw mud in your eyes, sir, and the empire he'll take. Watch the Japanese sandman changing all days for new. He is no second-hand man. Your mistakes you will rue.
Charlie and his orchestra with the Japanese Sandman, a.k.a. Carl Heinrich Schwedler, the frontman for Nazi propaganda jazz band. Unbelievable. Truth is really stranger than fiction. So that was Japanese Sandman, and we heard our remaining two clips relating to the Japanese meltdown right before that. Let's continue on, my friends, on this episode 210 for MediaMonarchy.com. TSA records show some scanners emit 10 times expected radiation, as the TSA has now admitted their bungling of naked body scanner radiation tests. That's from Threat Level, but reading from TheNewAmerican.com. Americans concerned about exposure to potentially dangerous levels of radiation from the Transportation Security Administration's full body scanners just got another reason to worry. USA Today reports that on March 11th, the TSA announced that it would retest every full body X-ray scanner that emits ionizing radiation. That would be 247 machines at 38 airports. After maintenance records on some of the devices showed radiation levels 10 times higher than expected. The TSA, of course, insists that all the machines are safe and that the records indicating the high radiation levels are the result of record-keeping errors by technicians. TSA spokesman Nicholas Kimball told the USA Today that, for example, quote, the testing procedure calls for the technician to take 10 separate scans for radiation levels, add them up, and then divide by 10 to take an average. They didn't divide by 10. In addition, says the paper, even the highest readings listed on some of the records, the numbers that the TSA says were mistakes, appear to be many times less than what the agency says a person absorbs through one day of natural background radiation. Do you see a theme? Are you tracking the memes? Our couple of other related police state updates. Next step for airport security: scanners for your shoes. That's from Danger Room. It's not enough that you have to take your shoes off like a dehumanized slave. But Richard Reed, another Al-Qaeda patsies. Yeah. Meanwhile, Janet Napolitano, head of the DHS, said she was not aware of the Department of Homeland Security link to the ATF gun running. you know, they just call it letting guns walk so they can end up in the hands of cartels as the war rages in the southern border of the North American Union. And lastly, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, FBI says sovereign citizen cases on the rise. That could truly be a threat. Are you a sovereign citizen? Am I? We now get to the massive 317 news purge, the toxicity of our city. System of a Down and Dr. Dre mashup, explosivity, or the toxicity of our city, and that's what we named the 317 News Purge. Here we go, 9/11 updates, a little flashback for you. EPA says the air is safe to breathe on Ground Zero on 9/18. Meanwhile, that 9/11 chopper footage we mentioned last week, of course, hit worldwide headlines, while 911blogger.com notes all the other incriminating 9/11 FOIA videos have been ignored. BioWars EnviroHealth updates from BioPrepWatch.com. More finds proposed for the Oregon Chemical Weapons Depot, that's Umatilla, right nearby. Other chemical warfare all around our heads, whether it's coming across the sea or across the street. And as I believe I even just saw on the front of Google, and now it's not there anymore, disaster or distraction on the Fukushima situation. Or what's the right hand doing while the left hand's paying attention to Japan? CBC notes Pickering nuclear plant in Ontario reports water leak. In an update from Activist Post, the cover-up in Canada, the radioactive leak happening right now into Lake Ontario. But back on the California coast, a massive section of California's Highway 1 falls into the ocean.
40-foot section of Highway 1 is gone. Action News reporter May Chow has details in our Salinas newsroom. May?
Hi, Brittany. That's right. As you mentioned, a 40-foot section of Highway 1 just south of Rocky Creek Bridge completely gone, fallen into the Pacific Ocean. Now, Caltrans right now enforcing a hard closure, and this hard closure is on northbound 1 at Bixby Bridge and south at Palo Colorado. Now, the situation is so bad that even Caltrans cars aren't allowed near this washed out section of the road because it's too dangerous, it's too precarious right now. We don't know if more of the road is going to slough off into the ocean. Caltrans says it will likely be several days before the road is repaired and Highway 1 will be reopened, but you know, the CHP is saying expect this closure to last even longer. Again, just after 5 o'clock, Caltrans reporting a 40-foot section of Highway 1 completely gone. It's down in the Pacific Ocean. As of now, anyone wanting to get to the peninsula south of the slight is cut off. There are no alternate routes in the vicinity. The only way around, the only way is to cut over to King City using Nacimiento Ferguson Road. Now, we spoke with some employees as well as some tourists at the Rocky Point restaurant over the phone. And the tourists who are stuck there said that they actually believe that the road had been falling off throughout the day. They had driven over it earlier in the day and they noticed a depression. And when they were driving back, they noticed that the depression got deeper. So they feel that the road has been giving away all day. We don't know exactly what happened. All we know right now is the entire area is basically shut down. 40-foot section of Highway 1 gone in the Pacific Ocean. A hard closure northbound on Bixby Bridge, southbound on Palo Colorado. Don't even think about getting there. Give the CHP time. Give a Caltrans crews times. Be sure to stay tuned to KissPW.com for the latest developments. And we are sending a reporter out there for the very latest for Action News at 11. Brittany?
All right, May, thanks so much. That's right. As May said, we'll have a crew on the way, and we'll give you the latest updates tonight on Action News at 11.
Section of California's Highway 1 falls into the ocean. Meanwhile, a 4.3 quake detected on the Ontario-Quebec border, and that is from the United States Geological Survey, USGS.gov. And, you know, what the hell? The USGS is also working on a project where they're testing explosives near the San Andreas Fault. Meanwhile, Manassas, Virginia simulates anthrax attack. That's from BioPrepWatch.com. 83 rescued from a Kentucky eatery that floated downstream. Do you see the meme? Remember Haiti? Those cholera cases could top 750,000. And we do have an update on the story we covered last week for you, the Redondo Beach dead fish, toxins found in those sardines that died by the millions. This is from Huffington Post, and I'm trying my best not to link to them, but you got to do what you got to do. We also give you the flashback to last week's story. Millions of dead anchovies float to the surface on Redondo Beach, and I got to thank Mr. Games 2 on Twitter, guessing all the dead anchovies may have been because of the earthquake. Why didn't I think of that? Up to the drug war, Obama administration steps up anti-marijuana battle, and you thought they were going to end the drug war. And as if that wasn't bad enough, illegal drugs found at NASA spaceport. Again. And another update. D.C. kids ingest cocaine at elementary school. Do you remember last week, the California kids that ate pot cookies? You remember the month before that, the California kids that ate pot cookies? Econocrash updates. Corporate profits hit 18-year high as we tie in Japan's meltdown as well as the global economies. The Economic Collapse blog asking, who in the world is going to buy the billions of dollars of debt the U.S. government is constantly pumping out now? We close out EconoCrash with a note from Politico. It's their headline, not ours. Michigan passes financial martial law bill. And on to geopolitics. 11th-hour bid to stop Gaddafi as U.S. finally backs intervention. That is from The Telegraph. Danger Room noting, United Nations approves war on Gaddafi. As we noted, The Killing Moon, our opening song, going back to 86 from Echo and the Bunnymen, a time when Libyans and plutonium and Chernobyls were all on our minds. Behind the 2011 orgy of destabilizations, Webster Tarpley on preemptive coups by the intelligence agencies. More on that from Tarpley.net. CIA contractor Raymond Davis freed after a blood money payment. Washington Post, Danger Room, essentially the same headline. Blood money frees CIA contractor from Pakistan jail. Bahrain declares martial law as Sunni-Shiite tensions flare. That is from Faith World. New settlement housing after bloody attack. You attack Israel, they're just going to build more houses. Meanwhile, Egypt's El Baradei, con man in chief, question mark. That's from ActivistPost.com, and you'll recall that we noted here now several weeks ago when the turmoil in Egypt happened, they're just going to put in El Baradei. And I told you that, and I told coworkers that, and we'll see it coming. Because again, you got to listen to the elite sometimes to see what they're telling each other, Council on Foreign Relations, Financial Times, and others. Another fantastic piece from Dana Gabriel documenting in brutal detail the expanding U.S.-Mexico Economic and Security Cooperation. It used to be known as the SPP. We just call it the North American Union for short. Again, Lauren Coleman of the Copycat Effect noting the twilight language of the CIA and March 17th. He noted it several weeks in advance. Watch for March 17th. And there we see war now being officially declared by the United Nations. And our last geopolitical note, former Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide returns to Haiti after a seven-year exile. That's from Fox News, but I noticed on the tweet feed from Democracy Now! That, of course, he did it with a little help from his foundation-funded Friends and Fronts. Murder and Mayhem, world's largest pedophile ring uncovered. That's from the BBC, and the Daily Mail notes global pedophile ring smashed by British detectives as 120 arrested in the UK. Meanwhile, police send in a robot to confirm Oklahoma City murder-suicide, and the New York City bus crash that killed 14 is under investigation. You can get the clip from Raw Story on that one. Obamasiya updates House votes to defund National Public Radio. This probably won't make it through the Senate, and this is a whole other debate we're going to have in the very near future. Clinton's spokesman quits after questioning the treatment of WikiLeaks suspect Bradley Manning. And former Democratic Party officials face charge over a scheme to create fake Tea Party candidates.
The two now former party officials are facing charges for their roles in trying to place fake Tea Party candidates on the ballot. Jason Bauer, shown here on the right, and Michael McGinnis were arraigned this morning. McGinnis is the former chairman of the Democratic Party in Oakland County. Bauer was the political director. A one-man grand jury has been looking into allegations of election fraud for 6 months.
We stand together, the Republican sheriff and the Democratic prosecutor, as professionals to assure the public that this is not a political charge or a partisan indictment.
The presumed intent was to have people on the ballot as Tea Party that weren't Tea Party, that would draw Tea Party votes from other people that ordinarily would have gotten those votes.
Forgeries among the charges. McGinnis and Bauer were given a $25,000 personal bond. A total of 23 people statewide have been part of the investigation to this point. The investigation remains open and other charges could follow.
There sure is enough lies to go around on the fake left-right paradigm. Stop playing that game. Our final note of Obamasiya and Congressional Critter updates. This was the best place I could put it. And was there any story that maybe for me solidified what we see going on? It seems silly, yes. And even upon watching the video, it's not as funny or fantastic as the headline would lead you to believe. White House worker falls into green-dyed fountain. Of course, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. And a White House worker was in the fountain working to make the water green for St. Patrick's Day when he falls face first and goes under the water. This has been the third year the fountain has been dyed green. For whatever reason, as we watch the symbols and the memes, this story sums up everything that's going on for me. A fake move to put on a cosmetic show of acting like you care about something. And the green, of course, is dual purpose. They can do it for St. Patrick's Day, but they can also do it for this green agenda. And so as the poor cronies who think they're part of the system, who work for this and do this, and again, nothing against the guy, he falls on his face. The lower people, we're getting burned for the phony show of all of this going on. And it's also interesting to note that this is the third year they've done it. So this is 11, the other was 10, the other was 9. Every year since Obama has been in,
They've dyed the fountain green as a part of this green agenda. 21. This really symbolizes all that's going on for me. In such a little silly, funny story, little water cooler bit of nonsense. Is this why, over the last 3 years, seemingly the moment since the Obamasiah took office, it hasn't been so much about terrorism, although we do still hear a bit about homegrown errorism and Al-Qaeda beyond, but all of the main stories, the biggest events, the biggest psychological operations have been swine flu, mere weeks after Obama comes in. And then we have mining disasters in West Virginia. And then we have Gulf oil spills. Are those still going on? Is there oil still leaking? I don't know. And now we have this current disaster. And even though it looks like we may miss the worst of it, and again, as we're just munching our superfoods and trying to be careful, we are due, perhaps, for a massive event here in the Pacific Northwest and maybe even on the West Coast entirely. So, definitely, all of this entire situation has been a bit of a wake-up call to myself. Yeah, I can come on every week and talk about all the bad things going down, but have I really prepared my own house? I haven't. I really spend so much time collecting and collating and putting out this information on these shows for you. And, of course, all the other things you want to do. Quickly now, the rest of the news purge, the toxicity of our city, Oregon oddities, the PDX boom, lightning and a huge thunderclap lights up the 911 switchboard, and was this another occurrence of what we here have called for the last year and a half or so, the PDX boom?
Good evening. We'll have the latest from Japan in just a moment. First, though, the wild night outside in the Portland area. Meteorologist Matt Cifino joins us early to talk about the lightning that moved in within the past hour. Matt?
Well, you know, it hit Gresham in East County earlier today. If you were downtown, you missed it, but now it's a little bit downtown. Let me show you the radar right now. We had a couple of strikes just recently out in the Tigard area. We'll check that out a little bit more closely. We'll stop the radar and then zoom in on our location where there was radar lightning strikes, as you can see. And they're basically right between, what's this, Olson Road and then up around Denny Road. Road and Shoals Ferry. Right in there, we had a couple of strikes sort of right on top of each other. There were two strikes right in there. Now, as we pull out, you'll see that the showers are continuing, and they will continue to roll across the region tonight. We even have a couple more lightning strikes out at the coast, so don't be surprised if you see the flash, hear the bolt of lightning, or hear the bolt of thunder, rather. Had one viewer in Cedar Hill say that it woke the kids, shook the dog, shook the house. Some of the brightest lightning, loudest thunder we've seen in a while. Back to you.
No question, Matt.
Check out pdxboom.crowdmap.com. And hashtag PDX boom. A couple of notes about what I mentioned at the top of the show. Alpha Broadcasting turns KUFO's rock for KXL's talk. That's from the Portland Tribune and even RBR getting into it. KXL Portland adds FM simulcast. And as I noted, I do have an article from Clyde Lewis on the situation and a few other related notes also from ZeroPointRadio.com that we're going to put up very soon. Our last Oregon oddity from the Examiner, the Portland Loo has opened up, an innovative throne room where you can go potty on the street. That's how we roll here in the People's Republic of Oregon. Our last notes on the news purge, war whores, U.S. military planning a presence and ops in Afghanistan beyond 2011. You should not be surprised in the slightest about that. We do have a clip, but we'll have to dump it at this point. All it is Joe Lieberman asking, well, certainly we're going to have to stay, but oh, only if they ask us, which should bring to mind the vampire lore. You got to invite him in. Quickly, something I wanted to spend more time on. Portland activists fighting FBI fake terror storm City Hall. And we have this video from my man Mike. JTTF protesters storm into Portland City Hall. That is linked up on YouTube for you. And thankfully, amazingly, LandDestroyer.blogspot.com and Tony Cartolucci noted Portland, Oregon-based Media Monarchy recently tweeted a video of We Are Change activists taken to their local city hall demanding that their city remain out of the FBI's Joint Terrorist Task Force. In 2005, Portland became the first city in the U.S. to opt out of the FBI's JTTF over concerns that it would threaten civil liberties. Now, of course, they're talking about getting back into it, all revolving around the FBI fake terror stunt involving a Muslim teen who was approached, trained, and equipped to carry out a phony terrorist attack. There are other things related in this, but again, huge thanks to Mike and huge thanks to Tony at Land Destroyer for, again, connecting us all and helping spread this information out. And I know Mike thanked me for having a great Twitter feed that really helped spread the word. And then Blacklisted News and What Really Happened picked it up. The related update to this from the Oregonian, the JTTF debate has been delayed for now a third time by Mayor Adams. And we do want to note at the bottom one comment from J.L. Dunn, I believe of the Oregon Progressive Party, and he says he's not quite sure why We Are Change has been mentioned so many times in this article, that the group actually had nothing to do with the planning of this rally. I wasn't there. I don't know. We'll have to save that for another time. As if all the insanity and paranoia and fear-based propaganda that we've discussed in this massive episode 110. We'll take a brief moment away from the chaos and make a quick note that she was very fond of ska music. The Secrets of the Queen Mother's Record Collection. It's an eclectic and sometimes eccentric record collection, spanning Caribbean steel bands, Rodgers and Hammerstein show tunes, Canadian yodeling, and Paul Simon's pop hit You Can Call Me Al. But they were all favorites of the Queen Mother, revealed today as the contents of her private music library was made public for the first time. Fewer than 100 albums in the collection she kept at the Highland Holiday Home, the Castle of May, M-E-Y, but they betray broad and sometimes surprising tastes. Alongside expected classical works and timeless folk music, the collection also includes the wartime speeches of Winston Churchill, an album of lute music, and comedy records by Tony Hancock and the Goons. We also have a few other related media meme updates on the new production code as MGM has scrubbed China from the Red Dawn remake. You can go back into the archive now almost 2 years ago on youtube.com/Media Monarchy where we noted they had begun shooting the Red Dawn remake in Michigan. And the enemy originally was China, but now it's Red Dawn Take Two. They're editing it, making Wolverines into wimps and changing China into North Korea. That's, of course, because China is the model nation, the most favored nation. Michael Moore's approval rating lower than Bush's during his last month of presidency. That, according to a Rasmussen poll. Meanwhile, Neil Diamond, Alice Cooper, Love, Tom Waits, and Dr. John inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bono and Spielberg and other world elites up for Gorbachev awards. Meanwhile, The Graduate's Catherine Ross wins a restraining order against her daughter. Daily Mail claiming to have busted who is actually Banksy, going through the records in Las Vegas of who got married, a labor researcher. Michael Goff, Alfred the Butler in the most recent Batman films, the Joel Schumacher and Tim Burton, that is, has passed away at the age of 94. Psychedelic icon Owsley Stanley dies in Australia. He was the guy who really helped the Grateful Dead with their psychedelic sound. And, as of course, we note LSD pretty much sourced from the intelligence agencies. And for some reason, members of the Grateful Dead like to go to the Bohemian Grove. Nate Dogg, West Coast gangsta funk rapper, dies at 41. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. And lastly, Joe Morello, the legendary Take Five drummer with the Dave Brubeck Quartet, has died at the age of 82. And if we had time, I had that track all queued up, and that would have been a nice way to take five. But we're pretty much out of time, my friends, here. Massive episode 210. Your help in spreading this information will help this show get better and get stronger and reach out to all kinds of folks, as I'm asking you to reach out to me. And that's how we'll get through all of this. So many things I probably wanted to mention and points I wanted to make, but alas, not here. And we'll keep watching the skies and we'll keep sharing information with each other, and that's how we're going to do it. This has been episode 210. It's March 18th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the New World Network video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.